الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد, continuing the chapter the author he mentioned رحمه الله تعالى باب الذكر عقب الصلاة, the chapter with regards to the remembrance, the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after the ending of the prayer. And we have read the second narration, the author he mentioned rahimahullah ta'ala, which was the narration of Al-Mughira ibn Shu'bah radiyallahu anhu. And we have seen that it's good to say this dhikr after the first dhikr, yani from the adhkar that have come. So one would begin after the salam and he would say astaghfirullah three times, and then after that what would he say? Ahsant, Allahumma anta salam wa minka salam tabarakta ya dhal jalali wal ikram. Then after that he will bring the dhikr that's in the hadith of Al-Mughira. Then after that he'll bring the dhikr that's in the hadith of Al-Mughira here that we studied in our previous class. After that it's good to bring another dhikr. The author, he didn't mention it because it's not muttafiqun alayhi, but we will add it. It's in Sahih Muslim. And it's from the beneficial adhkar that have come in this place. And many of the people of knowledge have advised to mention it after the dhikr that has come in the hadith of Al-Mughira radiyallahu anhu. And it is the hadith of Abdullah ibn Zubayr radiyallahu anhuma. And it's mentioned that about him, أَنَّهُ كَانَ يَكُولُ فِي دُوبَرِ كُولِ صَلَاةٍ حِينَ يُسَلِّمْ, that he himself used to say, يعني عبد الله بن الزبير رضي الله عنهما, that he himself used to say after every prayer, whenever he made the salam, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ لَهُ الْمُلْكُ وَلَهُ الْحَمْدُ وَهُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ لَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ لا إله إلا الله ولا نعبد إلا إياه له النعمة وله الفضل وله الثناء الحسن لا إله إلا الله مخلصين له الدين ولو كره الكافرون. This is the dhikr that has come from the hadith of Abdullah ibn Zubayr رضي الله عنهما. And it's mentioned about this that he said, كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يهلل بهن يُهَلِّلُ بِهِنَّ دُبَرَ كُلِّ الصَّلَاةِ, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to raise his voice whenever he would make this adhkar at the end of every prayer. So we see here the meaning of this one is similar to that which has preceded. Even the beginning of it is the same, لا إله إلا الله, which is the statement of التوحيد. There's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah. And then after that, the tawkid of the ithbat and the tawkid of the nafi. You need to emphasize the affirmation and the negation. وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ. And then after that, to mention the proofs of at-tawhid. The proofs of at-tawhid. لَهُ الْمُلْكُ. The dominion belongs to him. And the kingdom belongs to him. He is the one who has authority over all things. And everything is under his command and according to his decree, and by his permission, and based upon his knowledge and wisdom. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, lahu al-mulk, wa lahu al-hamd, and all praise is for him. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, all praise and mention of good for his beautiful names and attributes, and also for his bounties and blessings. He is praised with love and veneration. Lahu al-hamd, wa huwa ala kulli shayin qadir, and he has the ability to do all things. We have seen that this is emphasizing the affair of at-tawheed, and strengthening it in the heart of the believer, and re-emphasizing that, and reviving that, and reaffirming that, and making it strong, that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah. And also mentioning the affairs related to the Lordship of Allah Azza wa Jal, so that a believer will put his faith and trust in Him alone. He would increase in his trust and faith in Allah. لَهُ الْمُلْكُ وَلَهُ الْحَمْدُ وَهُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. He has the ability to do all things. So a believer, he will rely upon Allah and trust in Allah and seek the help of Allah and then take the means. And so this is from the benefits of this. Yani the issue of at-tawheed and al-istiyana, to single out Allah alone with all acts of worship, and likewise to seek His aid and His help with trust and reliance. And then after this, the dhikr, it continues with another التهليل تهليلة. التهليلة is to say لا إله إلا الله. The statement لا إله إلا الله هلل يهلل هلل تهليلا. والتهليلة is to say لا إله إلا الله. Like التكبيرة is to say الله أكبر. والتسبيحة is to say سبحان الله. والتحميدة is to say الحمد لله. التهليلة is to say لا إله إلا الله. So we want to see how many times this comes in this dhikr alone, and then if we combine that with the one that has preceded, how many times will one say La ilaha illallah after the obligatory prayer? So again, he began La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah lahul mulku wa lahul hamdu wa huwa ala kulli shayin qadir. This is similar to the dhikr of the hadith of al-Mughira. After this, he says La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. He says La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. And then he repeats the tahleela. La ilaha illallah wa la na'budu illa iyyah. There's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah, and we do not worship anyone except for Him. And we do not worship anyone except for Him. Lahu ni'matu wa lahu fadl, and the bounty, the blessing and the bounty and the grace is for Him alone, and all blessings come from Him. He is the provider of all blessings and all grace and all bounties. Wa lahu thana'u al-hasan, yani al-wasf al-hasan, and he has the best description and the most beautiful description in all of his attributes, subhanahu wa ta'ala, worthy of all praise. And then he says again, la ilaha illallah mukhlisina lahu deen, and there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah, and we purify and make our religion sincerely and only for Him, and we make our religion sincerely and purely only for Him. The deen, yani the ibadah, the khudu' and the dhul, and the submission and the surrender and the ta'ah, the obedience, we make it all for Allah. And it closes, وَلَوْ كَرِهَا الْكَافِرُونَ. And even if the disbelievers dislike that. Even if the disbelievers dislike that. So here we see, yani, if we gather these two together, between the hadith of Al-Mughira and the hadith of Ibn Zubayr, radiallahu anhum, how many times will we say La ilaha illallah after the prayer? Yani, so the hadith of Mughira, he says, La ilaha illallah وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير اللهم لا مانع لما أعطيت ولا معطي لما منعت ولا ينفع ذا الجد منك الجد. We finish with the first hadith. How many times you say it? One time in that hadith. And then after that, the hadith of Ibn Zubayr رضي الله عنهما. لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله لا إله إلا الله ولا نعبد إلا إياه له النعمة وله فضل وله الثناء الحسن لا إله إلا الله مخلصين له الدين ولو كره الكافرون. Four times in these two dhikr, that one will repeat the statement لا إله إلا الله. And then if we pay attention to both of them after that, it's always followed up with emphasizing that and mentioning the evidences and the proofs for that. Emphasizing that and mentioning the evidences and the proofs for that. For example, we've seen previously in the last class the issue of the hadith of Mughira. Now in the hadith of Ibn Zubayr, radiyallahu anhuma, the first part is the same. La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah. This is emphasis. Mentioning the tawheed and then emphasizing the tawheed. Everybody understand that? Lahul mulku wa lahul hamdu. This is the proofs of tawheed. The proofs of tawheed. And the rububiyyah of Allah Azza wa Jal. وَهُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. Likewise, the proofs of التوحيد. That He is the one who's worthy of worship because He has the ability to do all things. Then you repeat again, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. But now what do you say? وَلَا نَعْبُدُ إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ. What does that mean? And we do not worship anyone except for Him. وَلَا نَعْبُدُ. This is? This is? نَفِي. This is negation. وَلَا نَعْبُدُ illa iyyahu, except for Him alone. That's affirmation. So that's the meaning of la ilaha illallah. So then if a person were to ask again, what is the meaning of la ilaha illallah? And alla na'budu illa iyyah, that we do not worship anyone except for Him. That we do not worship anyone except for Him. And it's even verifying the meaning here, in this dhikr here. La ilaha illallah wa la na'budu illa iyyah. We don't worship anyone except for Him. We don't worship anyone except for Him. So what does la ilaha illallah mean? It means to not worship anyone except for Allah. It means that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah. We don't worship anyone except for Allah. وَلَا نَعْبُدُ إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ. Then after that, the proofs again. وَلَهُ النِّعْمَةُ وَلَهُ فَضْلُ. for the bounty and the blessing is for him, and all the grace and the goodness is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every good and every bounty, every blessing in the deen and in the dunya. And the deen and in the dunya, it is all from him. Walahu thana al-hasan, and he has the best description, the most beautiful description and the most beautiful attributes, subhanahu wa ta'ala. La ilaha illallah, again, to repeat it. La ilaha illallah, mukhlisina lahuddin. Mukhlisina lahuddin. Again, what does that mean? Mukhlisina lahuddin. Making the religion purely for him. Making the religion entirely alone for him. Making the religion sincerity for him. So again, this is another definition of La ilaha illallah. What does La ilaha illallah mean? Ikhlasu dini lillah. Mukhlisina lahuddin. To make the deen purely for Allah alone. And this is the meaning of a tawheed. So therefore we see that the meaning of La ilaha illallah is that one, he will not worship anyone except for Allah. La ilaha illallah, it means that one, he will sing Allah alone and make his religion purely for him alone. Make his deen and his actions of worship sincerely and wholeheartedly alone for Allah and no one else. So therefore the meaning of La ilaha illallah again is affirmed in the dhikr itself, that it means La ma'buda bihaq illallah. There's no true God worthy of worship except for Allah. There's no true God worthy of worship except for Allah. And then after that, emphasis on the affair and the issue of al-wala and al-bara. وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْكَافِرُونَ. Even if the disbelievers don't like it. If they don't like it that we pray five times a day, or they don't like it that we don't lower our gaze, or if they don't like it that we worship Allah alone with no partners, if they don't like it that we don't embark in the trades that they trade in, if they don't like it, whatever. وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْكَافِرُونَ. مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ. Where we make the religion, the obedience, the servitude and submission, the life and the death for Allah alone and nobody else, even if they don't like it. Even if they don't like it. Even if the disbelievers don't like it. And he's not looking for the pleasure of them, rather he's looking for the pleasure of Allah. So this is the dhikr. So one will say it like this. La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah. Lahu al-mulku wa lahu al-hamdu wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. Allahumma la mani'a lima a'tayt wa la mu'tiya lima mana'at wa la yanfa'u dhal jaddi minka al-jadd. You have to know the meaning for the benefit. If you didn't catch it, the recording is there, alhamdulillah. To learn the meaning and understand the meaning properly and to say it with a heart that is alive and means it and is contemplating and reflecting, there's benefit. After that, la ilaha illallah again. Wahdahu la sharika la. Lahu al-mulku wa lahu al-hamdu wa ala kulli shay'in qadir. This is almost exactly the same. The first part is exactly the same. Even the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what did he mention about this dhikr in the day of Arafah? خَيْرُ مَا قُلْتُ أَنَا وَالنَّبِيُّونَ مِنْ قَبْلِي لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَحْدُهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ لَهُ الْمُلْكُ وَلَهُ الْحَمْدُ وَلَا كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. And this dhikr right here is very important. It is very important. After that, he will say, لَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. This statement here is a statement of istiana. Al-istiana, seeking the aid of Allah. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. There's no power or no might or no ability to do any good or to be safe from any harm or to obtain any good or safety or security in this life and hereafter except with the permission of Allah. And a person, he's not able to leave off a disobedience except for with the permission of Allah and the power and the ability of Allah and the favor of Allah. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. And this is a statement of seeking help and also a statement of bara'a, that one, he will free himself. And I can't do it by myself. I need the help of Allah. That لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. Meaning I'm seeking the help of Allah because I can't do it if Allah does not help me. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ, that's لا إله إلا الله. وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ, this is لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. إلا بالله. So therefore, يعني this is كلمة الاستعانة. Followed up by the كلمة التوحيد. Followed up by the كلمة التوحيد. And then if we remember, لَا مَانِعَ لِمَا أَعْطَيْتُ وَلَا مُعْطِيَ لِمَا مَنَعْتُ, you wouldn't seek help from anybody else because it's all in his hands. سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى لَهُ الْمُلْكُ وَلَهُ الْحَمْدُ. So therefore you put all trust and reliance in him. This is what the statement it consists of. Any tawheed and seeking aid and the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then after that, you repeat the tahleel. لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَلَا نَعْبُدُ إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ. لا إله إلا الله ولا نعبد إلا إياه. There's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah, and we don't worship anyone except for Him. And there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah, and we don't worship anyone except for Him. And verifying that affair, emphasizing that affair, putting it in an application. The one who says this will remove the riyah. If he remembers this, he's not showing off. If he's saying it out loud, he's not hoping the people hear him. ولا نعبد إلا إياه. Why? له الملك وله الحمد. له الملك وله الحمد وله النعمة وله الفضل. Like this, Allah, He is the one who has the bounty. Allah, He is the one who has the blessing. So therefore, He makes the religion purely for the sake of Allah alone. لا إله إلا الله ولا نعبد إلا إياه له نعمة وله الفضل له الثناء الحسن. Then you repeat it again one last time. لا إله إلا الله مخلصين له الدين ولو كره الكافرون. There's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah, and we make the religion in entirety and purely for Him alone. And even if the disbelievers, they dislike it. Even if the disbelievers, they dislike it. So this is the dhikr here. After this, then one, he will begin with the tasbihat and the takbirat and the tahmidat. He will begin making the tasbih with his fingers. We understand that? And this is what the author, he mentions now. And he says, عن سمي مولى أبي بكر ابن عبد الرحمن ابن الحارث ابن هشام عن أبي صالح السمان عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أن فقراء المهاجرين أتوا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فقالوا قد ذهب أهل الدثور بالدرجات العلى والنعيم المقيم. The author, he mentioned رحمه الله تعالى the hadith of Sumay, which is the mawla of Abi Bakr ibn Abd al-Rahman ibn al-Harith ibn Hisham. Who knows him? Somebody knows this narrator? Abu Bakr ibn Abd al-Rahman ibn al-Harith ibn Hisham. إذا قيل من في العلم سبعة أبحر روايتهم ليست عن العلم خارجة فقولهم عبيد الله عروة قاسم سعيد أبو بكر سليمان خارجة. He's one of the فقهاء سبع that we took in the previous دورة. And this narrator, he is from them. Abu Bakr, this is the one who's referred to from Al-Fuqaha Saba'ah, from those great seven scholars of hadith and of fiqh. They were known for fiqh and giving the jurisprudence and the rulings in Al-Madinah all at the same time from the Tabi'een. From the Tabi'een, this is the narrator here. He's narrating on Abi Salih Saman. Abu Salih Saman, his name is Dakwan, and he's known as Zayyat. He used to go to Kufa, and he would bring Zayt and the likes back to the lands, and he was known as Zayyad. He's from the narrators of hadith. He has a son named Salih and another named Suhail. All of them are from the narrators of hadith. Abu Salih Saman, he's narrating on Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu. He said that the poor from the Muhajirin, and some of the Muhajirin, whenever they came to Medina, of course they left everything behind, so many of them were poor. So they came to the Prophet, they came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they said, قَدْ ذَهَبَ أَهْلُ الدُّثُورِ بِالدَّرَجَاتِ الْعُلَى وَالنَّعِيمِ الْمُقِيمِ. So they said that verily, the people of wealth, الدُّثُور يعني الأموال الكثيرة, الأموال الكثيرة. The people of الدُّثُور, they have taken the high ranks and the everlasting delight. The poor and the impoverished from the Muhajirun, they came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they said, verily, the people of wealth and prosperity, they took all the high ranks and levels and the everlasting in delight and joy. And they're referring to the ranks and levels in paradise. They're taking all the high ranks and levels in paradise. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, wa ma dhak? What are you referring to? قَالُوا يُصَلُّونَ كَمَا نُصَلِّي وَيَسُومُونَ كَمَا نَسُومُ وَيَتَصَدَّقُونَ وَلَا نَتَصَدَّقُ وَيُعْتِقُونَ وَلَا نُعْتِقُ. So they said, now, what are we talking about? They came talking about what? The people, they have all the wealth. We don't have any wealth. But is it about the dunya? No, it's not about the dunya. They took all the high ranks and all the levels. They took the high ranks and the levels. What is that? So they said, O Messenger of Allah, they pray like we pray. And they fast like we fast. And they give charity. And we don't give charity. And they free the slaves. And we don't free the slaves. And they're rich and we're poor. They do the acts of worship that we do with our bodies, but they have something on top of us. They have wealth, and they spend it in the path of Allah, giving charity and spending it in the path of Allah and the pleasure of Allah, freeing slaves. We don't have wealth to do that. They took in, they preceded us. Yeah, they preceded us. How can we catch up with them? Meaning in doing good deeds, in preparing for the hereafter and competing for the hereafter and munafisa, and for the pleasure of Allah. This is what they're mentioning here. So they free slaves and we don't free slaves. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, the messenger, he says, أَفَلَوْ عَلِّمُكُمْ شَيْئًا تُدْرِكُونَ بِهِ مَنْ سَبَقَكُمْ وَتَسْبِقُونَ بِهِ مَنْ بَعْدَكُمْ ولا يكون أحد أفضل منكم إلا من صنع مثل ما صنعتم. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, now after listening to their complaint and their worry, the issue that they have, he says, should I not teach you of something that you will catch up to those who have passed you or those who have preceded you, and no one will precede you after them, and no one will have more virtue or be better than you except for somebody who does the likes of what you have done. And so now he's mentioning it like this in this manner, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَقَالُوا بَلَى, they said, of course, يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ, O Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he informs them now, تُسَبِّحُونَ وَتُكَبِّرُونَ وَتَحْمَدُونَ دُبْرَ كُلِّ صَلَاةٍ ثَلَاثٍ وَثَلَاثِينَ مَرَّةٍ. If you want to catch up to them, they're spending wealth in the path of Allah, and they're giving charity from their wealth that they have, and they have preceded you in that, and they're freeing slaves and the likes like this. If you want to catch up with them, what should you do? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said to say Subhanallah and Allahu Akbar and Alhamdulillah 33 times after every prayer. 33 times after every prayer. And so this is a means, yani, to be patient with poverty, and a means to catch up with those people who have preceded in their righteous deeds. With the righteous deeds. So he says, قال أبو صالح, he says, فرجع فقراء المهاجرين إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فقالوا سمع إخواننا أهل الأموال بما فعلنا ففعلوا مثله فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ذلك فضل الله يؤتيه ما يشاء. أبو صالح, the narrator on أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه, he says now that those poor muhajirun, they returned back to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam another time. And they said, our brothers from the people of wealth and prosperity, they heard about what we're doing. They heard about what we're doing and they started doing like what we're doing. And he said, now they're like, so now what do we mean? Meaning, what can we do now? Then they can't catch them. They can't catch them. But so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, at this time he cut the avenue. No more going back and forth. And you know, no more thinking about it, worrying about it. ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ يُؤْتِهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. This is the grace of Allah. He gives it to whom He wills. So they came not out of jealousy. Not out of jealousy or having enmity or a rancor in their hearts, but rather seeking a way to compete with him. How can we catch up with him? We don't have wealth, they have wealth. And they're not saying that, we're poor and they have money. No, that we're not able to spend like they spend. And we have so many things together. We pray and they pray. We're equal in that. And we compete with them in the prayer. And we fast and they fast. But they have money, they give charity, and they free the slaves. We can't do that. So how can we catch up with them? So he mentioned this affair. So they're competing for the hereafter. They're looking for a way to compete for the hereafter. And then whenever they were informed of this dhikr here, then the others, they heard of that likewise, and they began doing it as well. And then whenever they came back to mention, now they have passed this, now they're doing the same thing that we're doing. So again, we're back in the same shoes. Yani, meaning that now we're still looking for a way to catch up with them and doing good deeds. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he cut that avenue and closed that door. And he said, ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ يُؤْتِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. That's the grace of Allah, the bounty of Allah, He gives it to whom He wills. He gives it to whom He wills. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He prefers some of His creation and over others. And some He will bless them with knowledge more than others, or with wealth more than others, or with piety and righteousness more than others, or He will make one heart purer and more sincere than others, and the likes like this. This is the favor of Allah. So if somebody sees that somebody has more wealth than them, or more worship than them, or more knowledge than them, or more good in the deen or in the dunya than them, this is the grace of Allah. This is the grace of Allah. And He will try to compete with them and catch up with them. And He will not have any animosity or enmity with regards to that, because this is the decree of Allah and the command of Allah. But they will compete. So the believers, they'll compete in goodness in this manner. So the author, he says, Qala Sumay. Sumay, yani the original narrator, the Mawla of Abi Bakr, yani who's narrating this. He says, Qala Sumay, fa hadathtu ba'd ahli hadha al-hadith. So I narrated some of my family this narration. فَقَالَ وَهِمْتَ إِنَّمَا قَالَ لَكَ. They said, verily, you made a mistake. He only said to you, and Abu Salih, he only said to you, تُسَبِّحُ اللَّهَ ثَلَاثٍ وَثَلَاثِينَ وَتَحْمَدُ اللَّهَ ثَلَاثٍ وَثَلَاثِينَ وَتُكَبِّرُ اللَّهَ ثَلَاثٍ وَثَلَاثِينَ. And he only told you to say, Subhanallah 33 times, and Alhamdulillah 33 times, and Allahu Akbar 33 times. So in this narration here, he's saying it like this. And as it appears that yani the narrator made a mistake in the beginning, to sabihuna wa tukabbiruna wa tahmadun. And he thought that you said all three of them all together 33 times. Or that if you said all three of them together 11 times, then each one 11 times, that makes 33. And he had a misunderstanding with regards to the counting of the affair. So Sumayh, he says, فَرَعَجَعْتُ إِلَىٰ أَبِي صَالِحِ فَقُلْتُ لَهُ ذَلِكَ. So he says, I went back to Abu Salih and I told him, and what they told me, that I made a mistake and I heard it from you wrong. So he says, فَقَالَ أَلَّهُ أَكْبَرُ سُبْحَانَ اللَّهُ وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهُ حَتَّى تَبْلُغَ مِنْ جَمِيعِهِنَّ 33. He said, you say Allahu Akbar, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, until you reach with all of them 33 times. So it's as if now he's clarifying that you say all of them together 33 times. 33 times. All of them together 33 times. So that's the same. If you say all of them together 33 times, that's the same as if you say each one of them 33 times. The count for all of it will be, for each one, will be 99. So that's the point from this narration, that you will say each one 33 times until you reach 99. Until you reach 99. So we have a number of benefits from this narration. First, would one say this after the obligatory and the non-obligatory? Just the obligatory. Only the obligatory. Now, it has preceded that there are other adhkar was mentioned by the salat al-maktuba. It was mentioned specifically after the obligatory prayer. It has come in Sahih Muslim from the hadith of Ka'b ibn Ujra radiyallahu anhu, that he says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مُعَقِبَاتٌ لَا يَخِيبُ قَائِلُهُنَّ أَوْ فَعِلُهُنَّ دُبْرَ كُلِّ صَلَاةٍ مَكْتُوبَةٍ دُبْرَ كُلِّ صَلَاةٍ مَكْتُوبَةٍ. That there are مُعَقِبَاتٍ, that the one who says them or the one who does them at the end of every prayer, he will never lose. He will never lose or be disgraced. ثلاث وثلاثون تسبيحة وثلاث وثلاثون تحميدة وأربع وثلاثون تكبيرة. He says here, this is the hadith of Ka'b ibn Ujra. Okay, this is a Sahih Muslim. Naam. So he says that you say Subhanallah 33 times. You say Alhamdulillah 33 times. You say Allahu Akbar 34 times. But the point now for this, he says after every obligatory prayer. After every obligatory prayer. And in this narration, the obligatory prayer is mentioned. So therefore, from this affair, or this evidence here, the people of knowledge, they mentioned that this is restricted to the obligatory prayer. To the obligatory prayer. In general, the non-obligatory prayer, there's no dhikr mentioned after it. There's no dhikr mentioned after it. Except for al-witr. Except for the witr, huh? We've seen that. The dhikr that's mentioned after the witr. What was that? And you raise your voice with the last one. That one has come. But in general, these adhkar, that's a specific. That's a specific dhikr for a specific prayer. As for these are specific likewise to the obligatory prayer. As for the non-obligatory prayer, there's nothing that has come after that. There's nothing that has come after that. We see here that the fuqara of the muhajirin, any of the poor ones of the muhajirun, the people of knowledge, they mentioned that poverty is two types. The first type of poverty, faqru al-qalb. Poverty in the heart. Poverty in the heart. To be broke, to be poor, and to be weak-hearted, and to have little faith, and to have little strength of faith and iman. This is the true poverty. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned in the hadith of Abi Dharr radiyallahu anhu, إِنَّمَا الْغِنَى غِنَى الْقَلْبِ وَالْفَقْرُ فَقْرُ الْقَلْبِ. That prosperity and richness is only in the richness of the heart. And in the contentment and the satisfaction of the heart with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. With the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the poverty and poverty is only the poverty of the heart. The poorness of the heart. And the heart is never satisfied and never happy. And not with the decree of Allah. Yani universally, not with the wealth that he has, not with the good that he has. Many of them, they will have thousands of dollars. And they will never be satisfied nor happy. And they will be searching and striving for another dollar. They'll have thousands and thousands in their bank, or even millions, and their whole worry and their whole aim and goal is to have another dollar, another dollar, another dollar, like this. And because his heart is poor, and this is true poverty and true faqr, true faqr, waliyadu billah. So this is one aspect. And the other aspect is poverty and wealth. And this is what is referred to here. The Muhajirun, they were poverty, they were in poverty, meaning they did not have lots of wealth. They did not have lots of money. But maybe somebody will not have lots of money, but he's rich. But he's rich. And his heart is full of faith and with love of Allah and with Iman and with certainty and with pleasure and submission to the command and to the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As for the different types of tasbihat, yani after salah, it has come in more than one way. So far we have seen two ways. The first one is the one in the narration here, that's muttafiqun alayhi, from the hadith of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, that you say subhanallah 33 times, alhamdulillah 33 times, and Allahu Akbar 33 times. This is one way. This is a sunnah. We clear? Mm-hmm. 33. How many does that make? 99. That makes 99. That's what is indicated in this hadith here. There's another narration also in Bukhari and Muslim, similar to this narration. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he mentioned ashra. Tusabihullaha ashran. وَتَحْمَدُ اللَّهَ عَشْرًا وَتُكَبِّرُ اللَّهَ عَشْرًا. Also متفقون عليه from the hadith Abi Hurairah, that you say subhanallah 10 times, you say alhamdulillah 10 times, you say Allahu Akbar 10 times. This is also متفقون عليه. So this is a third sunnah. What are all three of them? 33, 33, 33, 33, 33, 33, 34. Which one is 34? Allahu Akbar. There's a similar one like this, yani a shay b'shay yuthkar, at the time of sleeping. Ahsant. When you sleep also, before you go to sleep, this is, you say 33, 33, 34. When sleeping, before you go to sleep. 33, 33, 34. The 34 is Allahu Akbar. After the five daily prayers and also before you sleep. That's a sunnah. Or 33, 33, 33. Yani after the obligatory prayer. Or 10, 10, 10. All of it is from the sunnah. All three of these are from the sunnah. There's a benefit here. Likewise, maybe if somebody's in a hurry, or if somebody's traveling, he's tired, or if somebody's teaching a new Muslim, or if somebody is raising his child, and he will not put the biggest on him, put the hardest on him, unless he sees some children, they're advancing and they like to learn. Other children, it's hard for them. So you wait for them whenever you think they can handle something extra after the salat, you tell them this, 10, 10, 10. Just bring 10. Sit until you bring 10. Subhanallah, like this. 10, 10. Make it easy for them. So from the sunnah is to make 10. From the sunnah is to make 10. Likewise, it has come also from the hadith of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, that one will say 33, 33, 33, and then finish it with La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah, lahul mulku wa lahul hamdu. وَهُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. Yani the same dhikr that has preceded, the portion of it, that will make it 100. And in this narration, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, yani that the one who does this after the obligatory, after every obligatory prayer, غُفِرَتْ خَطَايَاهُ وَإِنْ كَانَتْ مِثْلَ زَبَدِ الْبَحْرِ. The one who does this after every obligatory prayer, makes these dhikr like this, then his sins will be forgiven for him, all of them, even if they were like the foam of the sea. And so this is another great encouragement and a great benefit from making the adhkar after every obligatory prayer. Not to hasten and leave. Or not to, if somebody even he has to get up, he can do it while he's standing or while he's sitting. فَاذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَى جُنُوبٍ. نعم. So therefore, you can do it whenever you're moving, if you need to. The best is to stay there and to remain there and to not move until you finish them all. Because whenever you're in the place of prayer, the angels are seeking forgiveness for you. And the angels are asking for mercy for you. And you call on Allahumma kfir lahu wa lahumma arhamhu. Ma dama fi musallahu. Ma lam yu'zi. And in the hadith, so long as he didn't harm anybody, or so long as he did not invalidate his wudu, then as long as he's sitting in his place of prayer, the angels, they seek forgiveness for him. And the angels ask for mercy for him. They make supplication for him. So therefore, to remain yani in a humble state and to remember Allah Azza wa Jalla in that manner, this is best until one finishes like this. So he will make the three adhkar that have preceded, and then the tasbihat like this. like this. So we have seen 33, 33, 33, 33, 33, 34. We have seen 33, 33, 33, 33, and then لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وله كل شيء قدير. And 10, 10, and 10. Also, there is 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25. Which one is that? Subhanallah, alhamdulillah, la ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. All four of these 25 times. So you can do each one 25 times, or you can do all of them, all four of them, 25 times. That makes 100. That makes 100. You understand? So you can say Subhanallah 25 times. Alhamdulillah 25 times. La ilaha illallah 25 times. Allahu Akbar 25 times. How many does that make? You can say all of them together. Subhanallah, alhamdulillah, la ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. Together. Mm-hmm. 25 times. How many does that make? 100. For each one. 100. You say them 100 times. This is in the hadith of Zayd ibn Thabit. And it's in a Tirmidhi. It's been authenticated. So we have all of these different ways. We have all of these different ways that are affirmed. So therefore, a believer, if it's difficult for him or if he's learning, he'll pick one of them that is easy, and he'll do that. But what is best is to learn all of them or a number of them, and to change them from time to time. To change them from time to time. And there's many benefits in this. And we have seen similar like this, yani, with regards to dua al-istiftah, that there are also a number of them. And what is best is to learn more than one, at least learn one of them, and understand it and apply that one. But it's better to learn more than one. Two or three like this in order to change them. Because whenever we learn more than in the places where there's more than one sunnah, by learn, and it's called yani ikhtilaf to nowhere. Yani it's different. It's allowed. All of them are allowed. All of them are good. All of them are from the sunnah. So one will say this one this time and that one that time. And in this manner, he's preserving the sunnah. And he's carrying the sunnah. And he's keeping the sunnah alive. Yani in the ummah. And likewise in himself. Because if you learn something and then you don't use it, you forget it. So the fact that when he will say it, this one this time and that one that time, this is a means for him to remember it and to memorize it. And it stays with him. And it stays with him. Likewise, it's a means for him to bring his heart alive and awareness. Because if somebody's accustomed to always repeating the same thing over and over and over, it's easy for him to lose his consciousness and to think about something else and to repeat those words without thinking or pondering or reflecting. But whenever he thinks, now, okay, now I'm going to apply this one. Now I'm going to say, I'm not going to say the one that I said at Dhuhr, I'm going to say another one. And now he's thinking of that other one. So this thinking of that other one and changing the sigha or changing the dhikr that he's saying brings his heart to life and will help him to have khushu' and to ponder and to reflect over what he's saying. Because now he's focused on bringing something different. You understand that? So it's very beneficial, yani to from a number of aspects to learn the different sunan and one issue like here the dhikr, and to bring each one in different times. To bring each one in different times. There are a number of... Good. There are a number of benefits, yani, from this narration, and from them is that the dhikr of Allah is a means to deal with troubles and difficulties and hardship. And whenever they were mentioning that they had no wealth, yani, they're poor, but they're still competing. They need to do good. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned to them this affair of dhikr. So a person, he will remember Allah azza wa jalla, and he will find strength in that. Some of the people of knowledge even mentioned that he will not only find physical, spiritual strength, but likewise physical strength. From the benefits, we see that after the prayer, after the prayer is finished, these are virtuous times. These are virtuous times, and in times that it's hoped that any of the act of worship will be accepted. So a believer will take advantage of that. And remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this manner. Likewise from this narrations, we see the diligence of the companions to compete for the ranks in the hereafter. The diligence of the companions to compete with one another, radiallahu anhum, with the high ranks, and to hasten to do good and to be upon obedience and to follow the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And likewise, we see their diligence as well in seeking knowledge and asking for the means that will lead them to the high ranks in paradise. And this is from their complete understanding, which has come from the teaching and the education and the tarbiyah and the cultivation of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Their complete understanding that in order to have high ranks in paradise and to have high status, and delight. In Jannah, you have to work. You have to work. And from the supplications of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wa asaluka jannata wa ma qarraba ilayha min qawlin aw amal. And I ask you for Jannah. He would say sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wa asaluka al jannata wa ma qarraba ilayha min qawlin aw amal. Oh Allah, I ask you for Jannah and that which will bring me close to it from speech and action. And that which will bring me close to it from speech and action. Wa a'udhu bika min an-nar. And I seek refuge with you from the fire, and that which will bring me close to it from speech and from action. So therefore, this is something the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was upon, and this is what he taught his companions until they understood that it is actions, and by the grace of Allah, that they will perform actions that will draw them close to the paradise and gain them the high ranks in the hereafter. That's why they said, and if ذهب أهل الدثور بالأجور يعني بالدرجات الأولى والنعيم المقيم. That the people of wealth, yani because of their charity and spending in the path of Allah, they went and they took all the high ranks and the high status in the hereafter and the delight that never ends. Yani meaning that they're working for that. And so how can we catch up with that? Again, the understanding of the companions is that they know that you have to work for paradise. If you want to have Jannah and a high rank there, you have to work for that. If you want to be safe from the hellfire and the punishment, you have to work for that. And that means there are actions and statements that lead to both places. Huh? That lead to both places. And the actions and statements that lead to Jannah, and the actions and statements that lead to the fire. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would ask for the actions that would lead him to Jannah and the statements, and seek refuge with Allah from the actions and statements that would lead to the hellfire. Likewise, we see in this narration the virtue of wealth, the virtue of prosperity, having money, if it is used properly in the path of Allah. And how by way of their wealth they were able to proceed. They were able to precede their brothers in this manner, because they had been given the blessing of Iman and the ability to do righteous deeds. Along with that, they were given prosperity in this life, and they showed thanks for that. And they strove to spend that in the path of Allah Azza wa Jalla and His pleasure, and they reached high ranks. So likewise, a believer, if he has been given the blessing of wealth and he uses it in the path of Allah, it's a means for him to have high ranks and status. So wealth is not blameworthy in every situation. Only blameworthy if it's obtained in the wrong manner, in a manner that is impermissible, and likewise if it's used in a manner that is impermissible. As for whenever it's obtained properly, and that which is allowed in the limits of Allah, then it is spent in the pleasure of Allah. This is a great bounty and blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and a great favor. Another benefit with regards to the adhkar, I have heard more than one time from Shaykh Abdul Razzaq, Hafidhullah ta'ala. He mentioned this blessing a number of times, and it's about a personal event that occurred with him. And he mentioned one event with regards to the adhkar after the salat, and another event with regards to the adhkar of the adhan. And the first one with regards to the adhkar of the adhan, that he was in the lesson of Shaykh Ibn Baz, rahimahullah ta'ala, while he was young. Shaykh Abdul Razzaq, he was young, hafidhullah, and he's in the lesson of Shaykh Ibn Baz. And after the lesson is over, all of the students, they disperse from the class, and he's looking, and he sees Shaykh Ibn Baz all by himself. So he's thinking to himself, now this is my opportunity. This is my opportunity to go ask him and to speak to him and to benefit from him while he's all alone. So he went to him at the time of the adhan. And he mentioned, little did he know, all the other students, they know that. They know the issue. But that's why they left him alone. So he went to him while he's making the adhkar of the adhan. As the adhan is going, he says, Shaykh, I have a question. Like this, barakallah fi, like this. And the Shaykh's like, shh, adhan, like this. Like, don't bother me. Adhan. Make the adhkar. You make the adhkar of the adhan. I mean, no questions right now, like this. So he was, he was turned back. But he realized, he said, it was a great lesson for me that I learned, that the adhan and these adhkar, you respect them. And you give them their time. And likewise, the people of knowledge respect them. And he said, there's a number of benefits in this. First, you don't bother people while they're making the adhkar. When they're making the adhkar at the adhan or after the salah, you don't bother them. You let them finish. You don't come, assalamu alaikum, how are you doing? And interrupt them while they're in the middle of completing this great act of worship. And this is one point here. Also, the people of knowledge, they apply the knowledge. Here he is an application of the knowledge. And so we're studying, and now I'm applying the knowledge. Oh, you go apply the knowledge too. This is not the time for asking questions. You understand that? Similar case. He mentioned again. And even one time he mentioned that, you know, he's exposing himself, but maybe the people will benefit from this. Maybe the people will benefit from this. He said, another time I was in the class with Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala, and a similar situation happened, and that they prayed. And after the prayer was finished, he noticed that Sheikh Uthaymeen, he was there by himself. So again, he's thinking to himself, this is my opportunity. I'm going to catch the Sheikh and benefit from him. And the intention is good. He wants to benefit. But he's young. He mentioned about himself, at this time I was young. And so he went to him while he's making the adhkar. And the Sheikh, he did the same. Sheikh Uthaymeen, he did the same thing. He told him, adhkar. No, after the adhkar. Like this, and ran him away. And he said again that, and he mentioned that he learned a great lesson from this. And so from the point that we want to make is that if a person, he's, for example, after the prayer making the adhkar, sometimes a brother, he want to be kind and give salam or shake the hand, and the likes like this, and the man, he's busy. And he, not the innovative shaking of hands right after the prayer. Not the one that maybe he's going to get up and leave, and the likes like this. And then he's walking by, everybody already left, and he's still there sitting making the adhkar. He will come and bother him, or come ask him a question, or come do the how do, that's not the time for that. Well, let him finish. Especially the adhkar of the salah, it's only a moment he'll be done. It's only a moment he'll be done. Wallahu a'lam. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.